The United Way update on Byers & Company, proudly presented by Tate & Lyle.
I want to thank the folks at Tate & Lyle, helping support a lot of things in this community, including the United Way update we do each and every week. James Keith is with us because Debbie Bogle's traveling into some coronavirus zone somewhere, and we'll be back with us next week to infect the entire studio. James, I want to talk about health. I want to talk about individual health, and we'll get to that because you have great news about yourself, and you were in our WSOY MCA challenge, and you've continued your relationship there. But let me ask you this. As one of the biggest sort of providers of service and connecting all the dots in this community, are there any conversations going on in our county about the coronavirus?
I have not heard any.
You all are scaring the hell out of me. I got to tell you, I had the sheriff in, same answer. I know the health department has put out some basically just some common sense guidelines on, you know, what to do to sort of be proactive. I mean, it's really not any different than like what they would say during regular flu season or anything else.
Right.
Do you feel you've been around the world? You're a military guy. You've had experience. Are you worried about this, or is this a case of the media totally overblowing something and then a huge reaction to that scaring the bejesus out of everyone?
I got to be honest with you, I really haven't thought about it much. And part of that is my background. You know, I got vaccinated against so many things for so many years that I just stopped worrying about whether I was going to contract something because I felt like I was Iron Man or something.
Okay.
No germ was penetrating this body.
Okay. But you clearly know that's not the case.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So, but we have not had like Italy literally banning hugging and kissing and shutting down schools. We've not had a 65,000 person trade show at McCormick Place being canceled. The airlines, they're not, I mean, you got to separate like the reaction to the reaction versus the reaction. The airlines are canceling flights because not enough people are flying.
Right.
But not enough people are flying because they're afraid of this thing. It's a real thing. Whether the virus pans out to be a pandemic or not, the reaction to it's going to cost this earth billions of dollars.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we're already using the word pandemic. So it's here and it's global. And the issue becomes, and you're exactly right, Brian, are we overreacting? And is this thing going to come and go, or is this going to be a serious crisis? And I think that it's time for those conversations to happen.
Well, I would hope so. I just don't know where they're happening locally because, you know, I read a story about what the federal government had planned to do in a little town in Alabama, and the local leaders came together and went, whoa, wait a minute. You guys haven't thought this out at all. And they had an abandoned former military base they were going to use to put these quarantine patients, and it turned into a nightmare.
Right.
So the mayor, the county, the hospitals, the United Way, the health department. I mean, I always sort of trust, and this gets me every time, that people that are in leadership positions are actually having conversations and doing something, and then I'm always surprised to find out, nope, not really.
We'll get started on it.
Okay, thanks, James. If nothing else happens out of the show this morning, maybe that's a positive.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, 26,000 people have died of the flu since January 1 in this country versus 11. Of this coronavirus, and we do have a weird thing we do with numbers, don't we?
Yeah, it is. And you know, my youngest daughter is fighting the flu right now, and she got the flu shot, and I encourage everyone to get the flu shot, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but she is truly suffering, and so, you know, for those of you who are out there, I encourage you to do the basic things, you know, touch elbows instead of shake hands. You know, maybe hugging's not the thing to do during this season, and wash your hands.
I told Tat this yesterday. If he was patient zero in this, the earth would die.
Absolutely.
Literally.
But people seek out Tat's hugs.
No, well, it doesn't matter how, James. I'm just saying if he were somehow to have been the first person to contract this, turn out the lights, the game's over, the party's done.
But if I'm going to die from a disease, I'd take it from a Tat hug.
No. I love Tat, but you're going way too far there. All right. Talk about your own health. You found out after living a pretty active life and being in not bad shape or grossly overweight or all of those things that you were a diabetic.
Well, pre-diabetic. So I got a diagnosis in November of 2018. My doc said, hey, listen, has anybody ever told you you're pre-diabetic? And I said, no. And he said, in fact, you're so pre-diabetic, consider yourself a diabetic. And so I did a lot of my own research, found out that my A1C, which is your blood sugar test, that's a blood test that really measures about 3 months worth of blood sugar in your system. I was at a 6.4, so 0.1% away from being diagnosed with diabetes. And so I walked out of the office, and I thought, well, you know, what do you do about that? And everyone kind of says the basic things like, well, lose weight and diet and exercise. Well, I've always exercised. You know, I've always stayed very physically active, so that wasn't the issue. So really, mine was my diet. And I always kind of had a philosophy that I work out so I could eat whatever I want to, and that probably worked through my 20s and 30s, not so much into my 50s. So I began a quest to figure out how to reverse this process, because it is reversible. There are programs out there. The Extension Office has a decent pre-diabetes exposure. I mean, you go online and you can learn about it. But I'm going to give a shout out to the YMCA. I walked into Matt Whitehead's office to talk about something completely different, and we got to talking about health, and I told him my experience, and he said, you know, ironically, we're starting a pre-diabetes class, and it was a 1-year program, over a little over a year, I went from a 6.4 A1C to a 5.8 A1C. I just got those results yesterday, which takes me out of pre-diabetes range. So shout out to the YMCA for a great program. Not only do they inform about what diet should look like, especially for someone who's fighting pre-diabetes, but a great support group. You know, no matter what your journey is in a situation like this, you get frustrated when you don't get the results you want immediately. So it was just great to have a bunch of people who were fighting the same fight in the same room, talking about their frustrations and just keeping on one another until the goal was met. And you mentioned your macros earlier, you know, managing your carbs, managing your fat intake, making sure you're getting at least 150 minutes of exercise a week, you know, just things like that. Yeah. So
in a year you went from almost diabetic or considering, you know, diabetic to not.
Correct.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
But people, you can do it. And you know, every doctor we had, it's National Kidney Month. I didn't know kidneys had a month. I also didn't know they were the size of a computer mouse. We had the doc in, you know, even all of these, everything starts with that diabetes, obesity, you know, whether it's heart disease, kidney disease, all of this stuff. And a lot of it can be controlled. A lot of it can be impacted if you just get off the couch and start doing something.
You bet. And or managed. You know, the YMCA, and again, I'm gonna give a shout out. You know, one of the roles of the United Way is to advocate for the community partners who are doing phenomenal things. And, you know, if you have been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, one of the things research has showed that if you get out and increase your bicycling, that and I don't know all the specifics, but that decreases your symptoms. And so the YMCA has got a pedaling for Parkinson's program, and a very dear friend of mine has joined that program after my suggestion, and she has seen a quality of life improvement. You know, they have the Live Strong program. So if you're a cancer survivor, you know, get out there, change your lifestyle, because the YMCA will help you do that to make a quality of life change so that you live longer, you live happier, you live fuller.
Okay. We're almost out of time, but I want to make sure that we go through the timeline about the investment approach schedule, because that's all coming up.
Yep.
Right now you're doing or getting ready to start the volunteer orientation and some mock presentations, right?
Correct.
And then the community investment approach, the 16th through the 20th of March. And then there's more volunteer orientation. But basically, when will all this wrap up? Because you go through this every couple of years to decide funding.
Yeah, so it'll finally wrap up in the middle of May.
Okay.
And then the board will approve the panel recommendations in the board meeting in June.
Okay, and then so sometime between the 15th and the 26th of June, then the agencies will know about, you know, the funding they're going to get. But if people want to be a part of this, they want to volunteer in any of the areas, you know, maybe they've got their own passion, how do they do that?
They call me at 422-8537 or email me at jkeith@uwdecatur.org.
James, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Always
Have a great
pleasure,
day.
Brian.